Now, as we continue this special edition of Prophecy Today, Israel at 64, we're going to talk about geopolitical activities. First of all, with one of our broadcast partners, you've heard of him before, I'm sure, Colonel Bob McGinnis. He's here with us every single week, and we're just so thrilled to have him available to us to help us to look into the details behind the headlines geopolitically across this world. Bob, thank you for joining us. And I mentioned this is a special edition, Israel at 64. Your comments, first of all, about Israel at 64, and then talk to me in light of the fact that Israel's in a tough neighborhood. The Middle East is in an uproar. The Arab Spring, you know what's going on there. Interact with me about Israel at 64 and their neighborhood.
Jimmy, it's certainly had a very troubled history these 64 years with neighbors such as Egypt and Syria and obviously Iran and Saudi Arabia, etc., with Hezbollah and Hamas and Al-Qaeda and others threatening every day. So it is a tough time, but clearly lifting up of Israel in troubled times is, I think, as you'll say, evidence that time is drawing to an end and an exciting time to live in today.
Well, it is indeed a very special time as far as Israel is concerned, but the future, there's a lot that the Bible talks about, but geopolitical activities unfolding seem to indicate it's not going to be a pleasant ride, at least maybe in the next couple of years. Let's talk about Iran. New talks with the Iranians as it relates to their nuclear situation. They are hoping this is going to bring an end to all the problems as far as the world's concerned. There's a fatah that has been released by Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. You've written a guest editorial. It's posted on our homepage. Talk about this. Do you think the fatah is real or is it subterfuge?
Well, certainly there was an organization that follows very closely Middle East writings, and they couldn't find a written copy of this fatwa from Khamenei. Now, there have been oral pronouncements by the Grand Ayatollah there in Iran about the possession of nuclear weapons as a sin, but it's not written. And it would appear as well, as I've written in this article, that back in 1984, when he was the president of Iran and the other Grand Ayatollah at the time, Khomeini with an O, not an A, had decided they needed to move ahead with nuclear weapons. And then Khomeini, the president at the time, agreed and said this is absolutely necessary. So when you combine what they said there, what they've been saying about what happened, they don't want what happened to Libya's Gaddafi to happen to them, and then all the behind-the-scenes preparations that are clearly related to nuclear weapons. When you consider all that, it would appear that they're using this so-called fatwa as a ruse to try to persuade the West to come to the tables to further delay, whether it be for more sanctions or a military attack or whatever. I hope that the West and Israel are not being fooled by this, but sometimes you have to wonder.
It is very interesting, Bob, that the West seems to be buying into this fatwa, supposedly, that the Ayatollah has released. But Israeli leaders are not talking that way. They say that this is simply a delay action, as they have seen the Iranians do for a number of times over the years. Well, let's change the focus just a bit from Iran and Israel over to Africa. And there's some problems between Sudan and Southern Sudan, or I guess the name of the new country is South Sudan. Explain that for a moment, and then tell us what's going on.
Well, of course, this past summer, they had a final referendum. Actually, the referendum was before that, but they split into two countries. And, of course, they're forced to somehow share the wealth, and that's the oil wealth, between the two. And now they can't come to agreement on that. And so they've been bombing one another and attacking one another. Interestingly, a lot of the oil, about 200,000 barrels a day, is purchased by the Chinese and comes out of this oil-rich section along their common border. And so given this troubled land where genocide's taken place and you've had many, many wars, it looks as if another war could be imminent. So it's not going to be good for that Horn of Africa area. You already have problems with Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab. You have infiltrations into Kenya and Uganda in that region. And then, of course, to the north, you have the problems with Egypt and Libya. So a very troubled area.
Isn't this the area, Bob, of Darfur, where all the Christians have been killed?
Oh, of course. That's part of the history of South Sudan. South Sudan's an incredibly primitive area. I don't think you have any paved roads. Those that I've talked to that have been all over there, and in fact, I sent somebody there years ago when I was in a different position to kind of check out how things are going. And it's poverty-ridden. Unfortunate, of course, it is predominantly Christian, and the North is predominantly Muslim. And, of course, those differences, because of their sectarian differences, have led to very serious serious killing of one another and, genocide and the like. So just troubled area.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, we're going to switch from that region over to the Koreas in the Far East. North Korea vowing an unprecedented action against South Korea. Is this talking about war? What's going on?
Yeah, it's mostly rhetoric. Kim Jong-un, who's the new dictator there, they, of course, failed in their three-stage ballistic missile satellite launch a couple of weeks back. And as a result, they have egg in their face, and now they're preparing to test perhaps the third nuclear device to regain some stature. The military, of course, runs the place, and they're very concerned about, people not fearing them, which is something that they've been able to take to the bank and intimidate the United States and Japan and others. So even though they threaten to wipe out all of South Korea, and they do have a fairly large military and they have a lot of capability, I think it's mostly rhetoric, and we have to accept it as that. And somehow figure out how to deal with such a rogue in that part of the world.
Well, let's stay in that part of the world just a bit longer. The United States, the Philippines, staging in the South China Sea military exercises. First of all, why is this happening? And I know that you and I have talked about when the president was in that part of the world, he was trying to firm up our military operation there. What's the reason? Is it China itself that's causing these problems?
Well, we have a good bilateral relationship with the Philippines, and it is improving because of the tension with China. And, of course, the Chinese are being rather confrontational in the South China Sea, and there are a number of island groups that are contested by the Philippines, by China, and by Vietnam. And China's just not playing a fair ball in that part of the world. And so, of course, we're shifting our emphasis to the Asia-Pacific. Chinese have taken note of that. The Chinese are ramping up radically their military capability. And, of course, we're doing much the same, trying to increase the number of exercises we're doing, trying to increase our number of troops in the region. And, of course, a lot of our Blue Sea Navy is beginning to show the flag more often in that part of the world. So confrontation, is it a Cold War? I've called it a Cold War in the past, and it's certainly beginning to take on the trappings of a Cold War for the future.
About 30 seconds, Bob. I was reading a report the Pentagon released, the results of this test flight of an aircraft that was moving at 13,000 miles per hour. I think you told me that that gives a strike capability by the United States within minutes any place in the world. What's that late information?
There were some technical issues. It's clearly a very quick aircraft, 12 minutes from Los Angeles to New York, carries a very capable warhead, if in fact we put one aboard. And it could have a strategic, very precision strike anywhere in the world in a very short period of time. We're working on those types of technologies. There are a lot of technologies that our armed forces are working on to give us a reach around the world and to give us credibility.
Yeah. Well, this in the world we're living in today is probably a must for any military operation. Colonel Bob McGinnis, he's the man who covers from Washington, D.C., geopolitical activities for us here on Prophecy Today, brings information to the table that will help us understand how current events are at least seemingly setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And that's why we're honored to have Bob McGinnis with us. Bob, thank you so very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.